Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So this sounds almost like going back to Close Encounters, where if someone in the military sees something weird or an airline pilot thinks that there's something weird out there, they feel the incentive to say absolutely nothing unless they're forced to do so.
Well, look at the JAL flight. That's a classic example. We know about the major sighting that took place there. The guy did report it and eventually got fired for embarrassing his company.
Actually, he got a desk job and eventually ended up going back to flying. But this is what I mean. When you describe things like this and you look up NORAD, what it is, we're talking here about a worldwide system of sensors designed to provide the commander and the leadership of NORAD with accurate picture of any aerospace or maritime threat, right? So this is their job to do that. It's their job to look at these things. It's not their job to have their eyes glaze over or not say anything. So what I'm imagining is you've got these people at these various facilities, whether it's Cheyenne Mountain or somewhere else, who are monitoring all of this stuff going on and seeing it and going, we're not going to pay any attention to that. And I just don't buy it, John. I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to be paying attention.
Your choice not to buy it, but it's their choice to try to get promoted and whatnot. So,
but it's their job. So what are they doing? Not, you know, you're telling me that they've got this information coming in. They've got satellites out beyond the moon that can detect stuff coming into our atmosphere, and people are going, we don't want to look at that. That's the whole reason they put it up there.
That's not true. That is patently not true.
Well, no, to watch what's going on.
That was there for a very specific threat, and that was the Soviets, when we were talking bad old days and stuff went in, were Soviets sending something over the poles that looked like a nuclear strike. And NORAD was an early, remember, that's the early warning system. And that's what they want to do, is worry about, you know, is there a strike coming that we have to be worried about? As a matter of fact, remember when a lot of NORAD equipment was old. It has been updated. And when it went in, it was kind of state-of-the-art. But state-of-the-art and computational capability at that time was far, far different. I talked to Ed Mitchell about that, and he said, you know, and this was years ago, you have more computational capability on your PC than we did going to the moon. And you had the same thing with NASA, or NORAD, and what they were doing is they were looking for missiles that are coming at a certain height, at a certain range, from a certain place. Other stuff is just not important. And there's no requirement to reporting weird things. Again, it's the Department of Defense. They are interested in threats. That's their business. So interested in neat ideas? Yeah, not so much.
Okay, the thing is, how do they know it's not a threat if they don't know what it is?
What?
You can't assume that you've got 7,000 things flying around you. You don't know what they are coming into your airspace, sometimes in restricted airspace, and not knowing what it is. And think, oh, that's not a threat. It just doesn't make any sense at all, John. I mean, this is way too convenient.
That's because you don't understand the system. So I'll tell you how bad it is in understanding the system. When I went in as just making Lieutenant Colonel, as an inspector general for the Department of Army, I worked for Dick Tucker, a three-star. He had to create a course. Now remember, everybody in there is a lieutenant colonel and has been around probably 14, 15 years and that. And he had to create a course for them on how does the government work. And these are, like I said, every one of them's been in the system for years. So if you extrapolate that to a civilian sector, I've had this talk with Richard Dolan a number of times, and what I told him was, you know, he came up with all these wild ideas. I said, what you need to do is take a date off and go join the government, get into comptroller and find out how the system works. So this, what makes, seems to be a good idea to you or why they wouldn't do it or would, frankly, doesn't apply. Survival, you know, the systems exist to perpetuate themselves. NORAD had a specific threat that was out there. To say, because you don't understand something, it's a threat, is a total misnomer, and it would drive you crazy. You don't have a budget big enough in the entire U.S. Government budget to take on all of the things we don't understand. So you've got to be selective as to what are you going to explore.
Well, of course, budgetary limitations mean you can't do everything. But what is that a reason then that maybe the government has not been as aggressive as one might have hoped in looking into this stuff?
Well, that's certainly part of it. Again, who cares? And I think they're making the mistake that most in the UFO community do, thinking that this is important. It's, it seems to be vitally important to a very tiny, tiny subset of the people. When you get into the macro systems of all the things that are out there, I forget what our national debt is right now, but, you know.
Don't worry about it. By the time you breathe, it'll be another trillion.
Yeah. So you go, where are you going to spend money now? like I say, there is no Department of Good Ideas. Their budgets come in, and you have a one-to-end priority list, and you run out of money long before you get to end. So if you're going to do something, you've got to be competitive and be able to make a case with other areas. You can fiddle around. I think threshold, you can probably stay under 20 million. That's not even manning the ISS for a day. It's just not that important. And if you're the steward of American money, and most of them really you take it seriously, you've got to say, compared to what? If I fund this, what am I not going to fund?
You see, that's the thing I'm trying to have our listeners understand in terms of priorities and prioritizing this stuff. Isn't that what has always been the concern on the part of the military? Whatever it is out there, is it a potential threat? If not, it doesn't matter what it is. And we can say, well, it could be spaceships. It doesn't matter if there's no immediate threat.
It hasn't attacked. It's produced zero casualties. Now we can argue about human interaction in other places. But again, from a military perspective, all the things that are biting me in the ass, this is not one of them.
But you see, that also puts in perspective what, if anything, the government knows, because it has been part and parcel over the years, and we've got a lot to talk about here, John. On the part of people who advocate disclosure, going back to Major Kehoe in those days in the 50s, that the government or the governments of Earth have guilty knowledge as to what is going on, and for whatever reason, they're keeping it a secret because of panic, because they don't know what it might represent, but they've got all this stuff going on. Or if they think it is spaceships, how it would impact our society. We've got more to come with John Alexander Let me do the break. We got more to come with John Alexander and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, going back to my little rant about disclosure or lack thereof, what was your comment, John?
They don't care. Again, you gotta look at it from, but first of all, there is no the government. As you've seen my briefings, you know, I've got a slide that says the governor, the Pentagon says, and the next one says, the Pentagon says nothing. It's a big stone building with about 29,000 people working in it with a whole bunch of different ideas. And the notion that this is monolithic and all information funnels into a single source, I think, is specious. That's one of the problems when you get the FATIS level, is how do you acquire, you know, the amount of information and the number of different things that's required to be informed and make a, you know, informed decision where you're committing resources. You've also got to remember, when you're dealing with particularly the military, they change all the time. I mean, that was part of the thing. Yeah, a three-year assignment was a really, really long time. So people are constantly moving, and they're moving through these various slots. And you have some civilians that last somewhat longer. But this is one of the things we did with Corso. You know, we haven't come up on him yet. Remember, Phil was a friend, and he came up with the story. And I was able to contact the guy who was the chief of staff at the time when Corso was there working in the foreign technology division, which did emerge in that. And he was not the boss, but he said he couldn't tell me that he did not know who the boss was. No more, he said he was, but the records do not indicate that. But the, so what happened was that the guy who had been chief of staff that he would have been reporting through went on to become a three-star general and had sat in many of the sessions. So we went and talked to him and said, okay, what happened? I.e., Trudeau had set up supposedly a program and all this, so with progression that normally should have been passed down. And the guy just says, no. And not being evasive, just, yeah, they talked about strange stuff, but nope, there was no such program.
As I recall the book, Day After Roswell, and I realized that William Burns had a big amount of input into the final version. We look at Corso as the bag man with the secret Roswell technology in his file cabinet. It's almost like a X-Files movie. And sending him out to private industry, which to me sounded ridiculous then.
Phil was a great guy. But none of it made any sense. And remember, we, talking about NIDS, knew of Corso well before the book ever came out. George Knapp was supposed to be the co-author. He lost it, but he's the one who did know of Corso. And we went in and checked, you know, the various things. And the stories just do not track. Remember, he came out and he talked about a number of technologies and said, based on, you know, things that are recovered from Roswell, fiber optics, night vision, integrated circuitry, etc., all came stem forth because of ET technology. Not a lick of that is true.
Yeah, right. In your presentation at the end there, you were saying that you had met with Corso, actually, and he admitted to you that he wanted to correct the errors in his book. So my question is, how did they get in there in the first place? Do you think this was Bill Burns that was just, taking too much liberties with his?
That's hard to determine. The two sides of the story, I've heard both sides of the story. One is that, and this is Corso's side, is that Burns had done the right. Phil was not computer literate, and a lot of the stuff was either handwritten or typed. And that Burns is the guy who wrote the book, and according to Phil, it says, well, they gave us 24 hours to review everything and do a turnaround before it went to press. That's Phil's side. The other side is I was in contact with FBI who had done Green River Killer with Burns, and asked him about that interaction, as well as Bill later. But what he said was, no, when they did, I'm talking about Green River Killer now, they went over that line by line, and if they didn't come to an agreement, it went out. So on one hand, you've got an established author working with Burns, who said it's totally strict, very meticulous. And on the other side, we've got Phil saying, we didn't have time and we only got a day to look at the thing, which does not make sense if you know anything about publishing.
No. I've done a number of books myself, and I know even for the assembly line crap I would turn out with computer instructions, you know, a dummy style book, it'd go through several editors. They'd send you back each chapter separately, and you'd have a couple of days to respond. So even in the book I wrote in 30 days, I'd have to spend a couple of weeks going through it. So we're talking about a book of this nature. I'd have to think that he would have had more. But then, of course, the problem is that Corso died not long after that book came out, correct?
But what he did do, he had a heart attack, and was near the 4th of July. I think it was 3rd of July, we went down and spent a full day with him. Well, actually, I was in the area and my son was getting married, so I was going to be there. Anyway, went up to Fort Pierce, Victoria, we went to the house, went to lunch, et cetera, et cetera. And then he showed me the material that he was, again, writing. It was, again, handwritten and typed and kind of in a sack, and says, no, I've got to write a book to correct all of the errors. If you know, in the back of the UFOs, I've got in there what at the time was a 7-page letter of, here are all the errors, you know, that I found. And they were one line. This wasn't lengthy explanation. So 7 pages were from... The short one was, it's Adelphi, Maryland, not Adelphia, as they had written, to the macro areas. There were no, the Cold War was not a cover for fighting E.T. Everything in between. And like I said, he agreed he needed to do something with it. And as we know, had the second heart attack, I think 10 days later, and lost all of that.
Well, I know there's something online that purports to be a corrected and or original version of the book. And what is that all about? We're going to try to find out more. Colonel John Alexander with Gina and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I helped thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The president said at a rally he's likely to choose a woman for a nominee to replace Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who passed away from pancreatic cancer on Friday at the age of 87.
When the choice is made, I'll be
sending it over to Mitch in the Senate, and they will do what they have to do. I think we'll have a very popular choice, whoever it may be.
The president said he would name a nominee soon. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says a vote will be held. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany.
This is a president who's guided by the founding of this country and the Constitution. And you look at the justices he's put in place, Neil Gorsuch, you look at Justice Kavanaugh. These are great justices.
The president's short list of potential nominees is reported to include appeals court judges Barbara Lagoa and Amy Coney Barrett. This is USA Radio News. Before leaving for his rally in Fayetteville, North Carolina, President Trump spoke with reporters at the White House and endorsed a TikTok deal with Walmart and Oracle.
Conceptually, I think it's a great deal for America. They'll be hiring at least 25,000 people. It'll most likely be incorporated in Texas. It'll be a brand new company. It will have nothing to do with any outside land, any outside country.
He said the new company will be called TikTok Global. Federal officials have intercepted a package that was addressed to President Trump. It tested positive for the poison ricin. It was found at an off-site location that screens mail addressed to the White House. The FBI, the Secret Service, and the U.S. Postal Service inspectors are investigating the source of the package. The Postal Service says there's no danger to the public. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, John, what is this thing that's online that purports to be a corrected or preliminary version of the book?
Oh, I think that's pretty close to right. I actually have one that he gave Austin in, and that's pretty close to it.
It sounds like maybe somebody should get in there and do a director's cut of this book. Take the original version and redo it, unless there's nothing in there that's important. So the question is here, we go back to the original concept of the book. Did Corso legitimately have some special knowledge of Roswell that indicated some sort of ET presence?
The closest thing that you would say there had to do with E.T. President or the Roswell crash, but he did have encounters when he was stationed at White Sands Missile Range and was getting ready to deploy to Europe. And this is where the famous line, a new world if you can take it, where he's out driving out Wismar, but it's a huge area. You can literally drive for hours and hours. And said he was out doing something on the range, saw a cave that was hot, as it often gets in White Sands. And so he went into the cave, and there's E.T. And he has a conversation with him. And the guy says, what can you give me? And he says, a new world if you can take it. That's pretty straightforward, but that's something only he could answer. Not sure if that's even in that book. There's a lot of stuff in the original manuscript. I think the one that's online. The whole first chapter area which is the conversation about Roswell, is not in that book. It's not in the manuscript as Phil wrote it. But, and then I think this, and they had a chapel that disappeared or something, and said, the editors said, that's the bridge too far. We're already out in La La Land. We're not going to talk about talking to E.T. because he says what happened was that he was in the cave talking to E.T. E.T. says, I'll help you. You got to help me. He says, how do you do that? He says, we'll have the radar shut down. Because the premise here was that there was something about our air defense radars from the 50s that could knock down the UFOs. That does not make a lot of sense either.
Doesn't sound like it makes a lot of sense. I'd like to ask, just on a different topic here, though. I think it was in the mid-80s, you actually put together a group called the Advanced Theoretical Physics Group that had people from all the services throughout intelligence and aerospace looking into the UFO issue. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Talk a bit about what you guys did and what kind of conclusions you came to.
Well, I think that's what we've been talking about. This is different than what I did and what HF was able to accomplish. Yeah, I had this, and we said, many years, had the people you described, all of them had TSFCI clearances, all, it was literally an old boy net, meaning that they're all male. And as I said, when we met, our assumption was the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Looked at, you know, Roswell was real, looked at it, can't figure out what it is. As I said, everybody from different agencies and some who would have to be involved said, nope, we don't do that. They thought you were taking care of it, lots of finger pointing. one of the things I did point out is that as I went through higher and higher levels, in the briefings, and I am the only one who did all of the briefings, I ended up with either the director or deputy director of all of those three-letter agencies that you know about, some you don't. And the point was, you know, bottom line was, we don't do that. And I thought the most telling one was one where I was talking to the guy who had been the director. They said, A, we have no requirements. We don't do that. But more importantly, here's the ones I saw. Point being, here's a guy who has had a personal observation himself, gets to the level where he's commanding agencies and is one that would have to be involved. He believed the stories. And yet says, we don't do that. This is where getting understanding of the government is important. They are, you know, given certain requirements and things that they're supposed to do, and you operate within them, particularly the funding. You can fudge a bit, but there are limits as to how much you can deviate. And again, you're back to funding levels. And I ended up, yeah, changing my mind, saying, you know, I'm up there. What we thought was going to happen, by the way, was that kind of like your scenario, it says, okay, the government has this tiger by the tail, and how do we get it out? And that if we form a second group that's not associated with this deep black one, that through that mechanism we can put it out. That was the premise. It absolutely didn't happen. I have stumbled onto black programs before and had my hand slapped, so I knew what happened. So if you go into areas you're not supposed to, or you find out accidentally get access to something, that never happened.
I want to understand something here, because you talked about tight controls about the money. But we always hear, and this is political talk, that the military is notorious for wasting money. The $700 toilet seat, the overruns in the production of military hardware. So how does that compute when you say they're watching the money carefully?
Again, there's thresholds. And sometimes it's not done well. Most of the times when you're the stories about the toilet seats and the ranch and all of that usually means you don't really understand what it was, because you think that, I can go to Home Depot and buy the ranch and whatnot and come back, when in fact you're talking about something that's very, very specific. Are there cost overruns? Absolutely. One of the reasons you need watchdog agencies that come in and say, how is your money being used, and audits and whatnot. One of the big problems with the government, particularly DOD at that level, the amount of money and having a comprehensive audit is really, really tough. And, a lot of slop that's in there allows for, discretion and sometimes erroneous, particularly with, by the way, I might mention, when we were, like going into Iraq, and they were doing things like shipping pallet loads of cash, most of which was not accounted for and whatnot, and you find these huge areas and, total misappropriation of the government, government funds. Some of that goes on all the time. But if you look at, research in these areas, one of the things we haven't discussed is, the cost of R&D in space is terribly expensive. I mentioned ISS before. A manned day on space is $7 million. When you amortize it out. Something like the Large Hadron Collider, $17 billion. Spending $1 billion a year on it for something that's of interest to a few theoretical physicists. And then you turn around and you look at how much money is being spent in all areas of phenomena.
You know what? Let's continue this in our next segment. John Alexander, Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. 10 Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I might as well ask that question here because you mentioned before, John, Roswell was one of ours. A Mogul balloon or what?
No, it was not a balloon, but it wasn't a Mogul. And you can find this by searching, and I forget the guy's name, and I should. There was a professor from UC Berkeley who was there, a young scientist at the time, and he gave a very rational explanation. The bottom line was, if you remember the time, 1947, we are unique in the world, but we know that the Soviets are going to pop a nuke soon. When that occurs is of vital importance because it changes the entire global geopolitical circumstance. So what I understand, well, it was a war story that I had never heard before at the time, and this goes back to World War II, and that pilots that were flying over the Pacific were given, they had these little grenades, and they were told that if you get shot down and you get in, first day, pull a pin, drop this thing in the water, and just sit there. If nothing happens, 3 days later, do it again. And what they found is that there were certain acoustic channels that were running through the Pacific, and what they would do is go out and park submarines on the acoustic channel and wait for a ping. A ping occurred. The submarine would go there, pop up, grab the pilot, go back down, and go back and wait. Turns out there were the same things were available at the stratosphere level. And so one of the things we were doing is we were putting sensors up. Remember, this was before satellites, so you could park, and you could send, it would send the, in this case, it was on a balloon. Now, what they had were sensor systems that were made in a very specific metal. And one of the problems was, I think it was about 60,000 feet, between air and a little higher, there are phenomenal cross, so that you had to have materials that could stand deformation and return to its original configuration. And so this thing about what Corso had said about it would crunch it and it would return like metal with a memory, absolutely true, and it did exist at the time. And supposedly that's what they were doing. that is putting these up, and obviously got away from them. And then later they got to where they had seismic sensors. No, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Bumped into the entire lecture. He even explained the strange writing and all that that Jesse Binger described.
So how does this become the legend of a crashed spaceship?
There was a lot of material, and they did go in very heavy-handed. People today, I'd say if you're born after 1980, it was hard to fathom. And if you were born before that, unless you lived through the 80s post-war era, you could not imagine the environment, the biological environment. And I think they went in. I think the government did it. I was at Los Alamos, and where they were having a truth and reconciliation talks and admitted when Hazel O'Leary was checked and admitting all kinds of nefarious experiments. And they were having these, as I said, truth and reconciliation talks, admitting experiments. And I watched several, and they were taped at the time I was there. And every one would begin, it was a different time. And hard to, for people today to comprehend what the mentality was in the immediate post, and the advent of the Cold War, World War II.
Right, but I think to where we're going with that, like Gene asked, like how did it become the saucer myth? Didn't the public relations office actually send out a press release saying that they'd captured a disc at Roswell, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Go ahead, John. Sorry. We'll carry on after.
Yeah, this again gets back to what Marcel, Jesse Marcel, said. I mentioned Corso before I met Marcel. What Marcel did when they were flying it and stopped in Dallas-Fort Worth, and to the best of my knowledge, what they showed absolutely switched. And the reason supposedly was that they knew that the Soviets would be watching the broadcast, and they did not want them to see the original material because they might be able to figure out that we had a sensor system that could detect a nuclear incident.
Oh, that makes perfect sense, actually. Yeah. On our community forums, people come on and they ask questions. And today we do have a question from one of our Paracast community forum participants, Farla Gulstein, who asks, "Hello, Dr. Alexander. I wonder if you could give your opinion about the so-called Davis-Wilson notes, the purported record of a clandestine meeting in the back of a car in Las Vegas between Dr. Eric Davis and retired Admiral Wilson about UFO-related special access programs."
And the short answer is no, I don't believe it's real. I've seen most of the stuff back and forth. Of course, I know Eric. He worked with us at NIDS. I put the probability exceedingly low that it has any validity. I've been asked that a number of times, and just not make sense. Of course, wasn't there. And don't know of anything that would support it. And I do know, I don't know Wilson, I know of him, of course. I know that he has just totally denied it. Eric's position is, and I'm not sure how it's being driven, but it's been, we have no comment.
Speaking of comments, one of the other people that you mentioned that you had asked, Jim Abrahamson, I found his response really interesting. He's a designated astronaut. He was director of President Ronald Reagan's Scientific Defense Initiative and an associate director of NASA. Now, apparently, when you asked him, he said that he didn't have any knowledge about UFOs and, quote, the subject is too hot to handle. Now, that seems, if you don't know anything about them, what did he mean by too hot to handle?
No, very specifically, he had a $5 billion budget. The quote, you just only part of it, the part was, I'm doing some very hairy stuff. At that time, that was, SDI was the most expensive DOD program ever. And so he was a target for everybody who wants money. And his point was, if I get caught doing this, it wasn't because of revealing technology, it was I'm going to be seen as not being a good steward of the public money, meaning that Congress would come after him and not only cut, you know, the money that they might have awarded us with zero, they did not do it. He just said, I can't afford, and this was politically, I can't afford to get caught dabbling in these areas, not because I want to protect something. It was, well, I'm protecting the budget. I'd say more importantly, years later, his technical director, Dean Judd, became a very close personal friend. And we spent hours and hours talking to her. Some will know that he did come on the NIDS science board. He had also, after SDI, had been the NIO, the National Intelligence Officer for Research and Development under the National Intelligence Council.
On this weekend's episode of After the PowerCast, which is, of course, part of the PowerCast Plus, we're going to play catch-up. We're going to feature our old friend Kurt Collins. He, of course, has the blueblurrylines.com website. And we'll talk about his reactions to what Dr. Alexander has said, plus a number of current issues in the UFO field. Check thepowercast.plus for more information. Let's continue in a moment. With John Alexander, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the PowerCast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.